This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 20A of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. In today's episode, we have the first half of a group discussion on wearing a collar and community. Here's our hosts, Woody and the Beast.
Thank you, Max, and welcome to a very special edition of the Kinky Cast. We are in Studio D here at the Complex today. What do you think about that, Mr. Beast?
I think I'm surrounded with a wonderful crowd of lusty perverts today. Ooh. Of all genders, orientations, we got everything here.
Tops, bottoms, middles?
Littles?
Not littles, middles.
Middles. Oh, middles. Okay.
Without any further ado, I'm going to go around the room and we're going to have everybody introduce themselves. So over here on my far left, hey, Chrissy.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. So tell me why you're here.
I am here to participate in this wonderful group discussion. I'm Chrissy. I've been on the podcast in the past a couple of times. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm in the scene in this local community for probably 5 or 6 years, in another community for probably 3 years. And my introduction to kink occurred when I was in my early 20s, living with swingers who brought a traveling dungeon to the property, and it was on since then. So I've been doing this a little bit of time.
Kavika.
I'm Kavika. And I've been in the scene publicly about 8 years, played since I was a teenager. I identify, I'm actually switch. I pretty much do everything. Right now I'm in a DS relationship as a submissive, but I play all different ways when I play publicly and privately.
Miss Kate?
Hi, I'm Kate Kinsey, and I have also done a couple of shows with you before. I am an author of Red and the Totally Uncensored Kinky Adventures of Chloe St. Clair, Sex Slave. Please go to Amazon.com and buy a lot of copies.
No shameless plugs here, right?
No shameless plugs. I'm very shamed. I'm shamed. But I'm into humiliation play, so. I identify as, what is today, Saturday? I'm a sub today. And I have problems with those labels sometimes. Sub or slave, because, you know, that's a whole argument in itself. And I've been in the scene for about 13 years, I guess.
Fantastic. Well, Miss Gabrielle?
Hi, I am Gabrielle. I've been in the scene for a whopping 10 months, and I identify as a submissive.
Very good. Anne?
I'm Anne, and I have been in, I've been a submissive for probably 16 years, and then I've been in the public scene here in this community for about 15 years, and I'm currently in a master-slave relationship. My submissiveness has evolved into a slave attitude.
Thank you. Lee?
Hi. Let's see. I've been in the community for about 14 years, since about 2000. I'm a submissive 99.99% of the time. If someone wants me to top them, I will do it with their direction. So I guess you say I'm submissive. I don't know.
Fair enough. Miss Tress.
Hi, I'm Miss Tress, dominant female. Been in the scene for probably 15 years, here in Nashville for 10.
And Miss Bitsy Blue.
Hi, I'm Bitsy Blue. I'm a switch. I've been in the scene publicly here as part of the community for about 3 years, but the roots of my S&M attitude go back to early childhood. Every day I think of something I did or said as a small child and thought, oh yeah, yeah, I can see where that could end up badly or good, as the case may be.
Thank you. Well, Beast, it looks like we have quite a crowd around the mics.
We have a very diverse and experienced crowd, ranging from what? Gabrielle's 10 months to almost 20 years.
But Gabrielle gets points for enthusiasm.
Oh, she does that.
Always.
Well, wait a minute. What about you two?
Take it away, Beast.
Let's see. I'm celebrating my second decade in Nashville this year. Been kinky considerably longer than that. Polyamorous. I'm a male slut.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the peanut gallery. She fell right into that one. Sadist, general kinkster.
And wonderful top.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I'm trying to smooth things over.
Yeah, you're getting
not
some
been
points
a very
here.
Good submissive this morning.
Yes.
And the listeners are rooting for the on-air spanking.
Well, we are surrounded by all kinds of wonderful toys and paddles and...
Sign me up.
Is Bender around?
Sign me up.
To the right of you.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
I'll guard him for you.
A whole wall of floggers. It's beautiful.
We are sitting in Studio D, and the D has a real meaning. In this case, it is the dungeon. And it is surrounded with all kinds of implements of distraction. And it's a little hard to keep this ADD group together here because they keep going off into...
Squirrel. No, it's flogger.
Right.
And many other things.
Shiny.
Yeah, we all have attention deficit. Ooh, shiny.
I guess I'm the last one in the introductions here. I'm Woody, your host and producer, and I have been in the scene for 19 years now. I came in 95, started in Europe, in Amsterdam. Had quite a interesting introduction to it, especially as I was still learning Dutch at the time. So that was always interesting. As I would travel a lot and come to Los Angeles, I worked into the scene there. I acquired my first mentor there who made sure that I was properly trained and took so many courses. They blur. There were so many of them. When I finally did move back to the States, I settled down in the San Francisco Bay Area and was active in both the Society of Janus organization and in SM Odyssey in the South Bay. Been in Nashville since 2007. There is a nice community surrounding me and a lot of them here in the room today. Many of the voices you've heard on the Kinky Cast before, we have some new voices with us and welcome. And we hope to hear them on the cast in future episodes. So with that in mind, a listener writes, I am getting collared in the very near future, and when I have my collar, how do I come out to my friends and family? We have heard this many times before. We have all lived it in one form or another. And so I'm going to open it up to the floor. Any takers?
Well, I would ask first, is her question really about explaining the collar or about explaining the relationship itself?
Well, I think that is a good two-part question. The first part is we were just asked about the collar.
That I think is not a big deal. I mean, what kind of collar is it? There are plenty of collars that look like jewelry. That's not a big deal. I have friends that wear titanium collars, eternity collars, that they just, it's just the metal band and looks like a necklace.
There's also symbolic collars such as rings and anklets and things like that that can take the place of a collar around the neck. And so you don't have to wear the same collar every day and people think that you're some kind of a weird fashionista.
I do have several friends who have multiple collars for the same relationship where they have one that is more fetish looking that they wear when they come out to community events and one that just looks like jewelry, as you were saying, for when they go to family events and other non-kinky friendly events or non-kinky aware events.
The symbolism is there with anything that is that goes through the process of the ritual. Lee?
I think, you know, like everyone else has said, it just depends on the style of, you know, some people come out to munches or, you know, in a public place and they have these big dog collars on with, you know, these big old loops for a leash. And those make me uncomfortable when I'm out in public. I don't know why. It just does. I like a thin, you know, necklace, I think is fine. But it just depends on the person.
It's funny that you mentioned that the big thick collars. You think back to a trip that we took to West Memphis, Arkansas. We were in a Golden Corral, I believe. And for... We weren't very considerate of the vanillas. We did not have their consent, but we shoved my great big thick collar and somebody else's collar in their face, and we had people stopping by to go, oh, I love your collar.
Mistress?
I think some people are looking to non-consensually affect the vanillas.
Shock the vanillas, yes.
And the collars can be very nice, very tasteful. They don't have to look like a collar. And one of my favorite answers to anyone who would ask such a personal question, you know, to something that's borderline would be just to smile and say, why do you want to know?
Don't ask questions you don't want to know answers to.
And if you do want to know the answer, we can help with that.
Yeah, I've outgrown that need to shock the vanillas. It's something that I learned.
Yes, Gabrielle.
I think if you're, you know, going to go out and, you know, wear a collar, the big leather collar with rings or whatever, you know, you really want to shock the vanillas. Dye your hair blue, get one with spikes, and go out as a punk rocker if you really want to shock people. Yeah.
Yes, Anne.
I often respond to emails where people are inquiring about a munch that I co-host. And one of the things I tell them is that it is at a family restaurant and that collars are not acceptable there or any other type of fetish wear. But I have seen people come in and they are tastefully done, so they have to consider, you know, would they wear this at a family reunion when they go out into public?
While we're on the subject of public events and things like that, actions at a munch. Yes, Lee?
I was going to say something about that as well because, you know, we went to a munch recently where a female, I don't know if she's, I think she's a switch, kneeled down on the floor next to another female and was fondling her nipple.
Really?
Was right there in front of everybody, and that's when I had to get up and walk away because it was very uncomfortable.
There was a incident in a neighboring city about a year ago where a munch just totally fell apart because the participants totally forgot the purpose, and they thought they confused munch and play party, and they ducking into dark corners and playing and so forth. So I definitely think that some people need to go back to Munch 101 and remember that it's a social gathering and not a play event.
I don't think that's Munch 101. I think that's Common Decency 101. You know, putting something out in people's face, and this may go back to the original question. I don't want to know if my aunt and uncle are into anal. They don't want to know what I do in my bedroom.
True.
They really don't. Mm-hmm. They don't need much explanation.
Mitzi?
I absolutely agree, Mistress. I was wanting to veer back to the original question also and say that all of this is good information, but it's kind of avoiding the how do I tell question. And the answer to that is you don't necessarily have to. You should consider who you're talking to. For instance, I have not bothered to tell my parents because I'm well past the age of needing any kind of permission from them to do anything I'm going to do. And I know that they would never understand. It would only hurt their feelings. And so I don't explain it. I have a lot of, quote, friends, unquote, and that's all they really know about my relationships. And that's all I feel they need to know.
Yeah. Piggybacking on what Mistress said, it is common sense. I mean, and this does go back to the original question again. If you don't want someone asking, if you don't want to have to try to figure out how to explain a collar, then wear, you know, a choker with a lock on it or something if that's more symbolic for you, or wear an anklet or a bracelet or whatever. You know, just don't even put yourself in the situation if you don't want to have to try to answer to it.
I want to get back to the munches. A lot of times we get in conversations in the munches, and we're not in a private room in a lot of cases. And there may be children or people sitting nearby. Your voice carries. And I think a lot of people are just not aware of that. There's times I'm in conversation where I'll have to kind of, you know, advise people to kind of tone it down a little bit. And the same way as far as where you dress, just be aware that there are families around. There's children. There's people that just come out of church.
Two comments. One is about what Gabrielle said about you don't have to draw attention to it. Or the thing is, a lot of times I've found that if you just sort of laugh and say it's a piece of jewelry that has a sentimental meaning and just kind of laugh and say, yeah, I'm his sex slave, people will think you're just joking and they'll just go on. people don't react the way you always think they're going to. A lot of times, if you don't put a whole lot of shock into your reaction, people don't think it's anything major. But the other thing was, I actually ended up sort of telling my mother about being into this, but I gave her a very sanitized version that said, yes, I like being tied up and spanked, not that I like doing some of the other naughtier things.
How recent was that?
That was about when I first got collared, because she was coming up to visit, and I kept talking about a certain play partner, and she was worried about, because this play partner was a good bit older than me, was about 20 years older. And she said, are you sleeping with this person? And I said, well, according to Bill Clinton, no. And she said, don't be a smartass. Are you having sex with this person? I said, well, it depends on what you consider sex. He likes to tie me to a massage table, spank me, and then force me to have an orgasm. And she just sort of looked at me for a minute. And then she said, how old did you say he was? Is his heart in good condition? He's not going to like. And I thought, that's my mom. Safety first.
Safe, sane, and consensual.
And she just sort of said, well, you know, I guess if it floats your boat.
Kate, I do believe, though, your mother could have been cruising for her own.
Oh, my mother is the ultimate dom. She is the reason I am why I am.
Lee?
Going back to the caller, I choose not to tell my family, and only my closest friends know, but I have some best girlfriends that don't have any idea, nor will they ever, because I just don't feel like it's appropriate. I have had other people in the lifestyle kind of make snide remarks to me about me not coming forward to my children that I'm in this lifestyle. And they know who they are. But, you know, it's your right as an individual to tell who you want to tell, or, you know, not tell anybody at all. So.
And what you want to tell them.
Right, exactly. You know, my children do not know.
Anne?
A caller, to me, it's a symbol of a commitment to a relationship, and it can be in any form. It could be a wedding ring. I do have collars that I don't often wear. Most of the time they get worn when I go to a fetish party. But I have a ankle bracelet that I wear all the time, and it's been on my ankle for, I don't know, 14 years. So back to the collar. So, you know, if the person is looking on how to explain a collar to someone, they don't have to. It's and what is that collar going to look like? Is it going to be a dog collar around the neck, or is it going to be an ankle bracelet, or is it going to be a nice, pretty gold chain or something like that? It depends on what the collar is going to look like and what that person is comfortable explaining to their family and their friends.
I think someone who, dom, master, mistress, you know, a female top, whatever, I feel like if they want to collar you, they would give you something that, if they really cared about you, they would give you something that you would be, you know, comfortable wearing all the time.
Right. Yes. Like a
like an anklet. Or,
yeah. Well, you use the wedding band.
Wedding band.
That's a symbol of a commitment. I think the anklet or collar is also the same level of commitment and shows and there's intent there, right, to have a relationship, to work on a relationship and maintain a relationship. I have huge problems with Velcro collars, but that's a whole nother story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your collar can also evolve over time. I started out with one collar and a tag that said whore, and and that one I was a bad sub and I threw it back at somebody, and then later I got a more dressy collar.
I'm kind of like Anne. I personally view a collar and a wedding ring not as the same, but as similar. You know, they're both symbols of a commitment. But unlike a wedding ring, where you're supposed to wear the same exact ring for the rest of your life or the life of the marriage, I think a collar can be, you can have multiples. You can have one that you wear to kink events. You can have one that you wear to work. You can have one that you wear in the bedroom whatever. I don't think it has to be the exact same one that you got at your collaring ceremony.
I've actually known quite a few people who whose wedding, you know, rings, that sort of jewelry, also evolved over time. I know a lady that after 30 years of marriage, her ring just didn't fit very well anymore, and she had a lovely cocktail ring that fit well, and so she wore that instead, and her original wedding jewelry sat in a box, and she never wore it again. So, you know, even wedding jewelry can evolve, you know, and I think in this lifestyle where so many people are interested in paying attention to the evolution of how they feel and their roles in the community, that it's only logical that the gear, if you will evolve also.
Yeah, because that first caller is not me anymore. It's not the relationship anymore.
And if you have a wedding ring on and if you take it off, does that make you any less married? So if you have a collar on and you take it off to bathe or for surgery or whatever reason, does it make you any less collared?
And I know people are mentioning collaring ceremonies. I don't think I've ever had a collaring ceremony. So is my collar really a collar?
Well, there's also the thing of what the collar means as an outward symbol to other people, which is why sometimes we only wear them to fetish events, because you want to sort of give people a visual clue of who and what you are and what your relationship is. But there's also the element of, I know a lot of times now I get my collar out and make sure I wear it in some form, either around my neck or I can double it up and wear it as a bracelet. And I do that as a sign to myself to remember what I'm trying to be, who I'm trying to please, just to keep the relationship primary in mind.
Is a collar for a submissive as well as a slave?
Oh, don't even go there. You know we would end up hair pulling and spitting and
getting
into that whole what's the difference between a submissive and a slave.
This is not video, ladies.
Let's go there.
No,
I'm live in the studio.
There are no webcams.
No. I'm just curious as to what everybody's...
I was just joking with you.
I know. I'm not as scared of you.
You are.
I'm not as scared.
Oh, bring it.
I think that was a challenge.
We need a video camera for that, or we'll you know, get
I'll get
more
that
pits
vlogger
on it.
After you. Now you might like that.
Yeah, I would. So.
But, I mean, you know, really, is there a difference? Do people perceive a difference in who you identify as? Does it...
Well, for a slave, I mean, a collar is a more prominent prop because it plays property.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is all of us in the room here, we've been in that lifestyle for a while. I see people, and I see it pretty common, where they meet somebody, and then 3 days later, they're collared to them. So their meaning of a collaring is much different than our meaning of a collaring. So I think you have to go back and see, you know, what is the meaning of a collar? What does it mean to you versus the person who gets collared 3 days later?
And that just underscores it's a personal symbol. It's a personal relationship, and each one's going to be different. Whatever the original question was, it's what is their meaning to them and how they're going to convey it to their families. It's a symbol of a personal relationship.
You brought up a really good point about the people who have been in a lifestyle for 3 days. They meet somebody and they've got a collar. A lot of that has to do with the level of education we give to newbies. So many of them come in and they think their first thing is they got to get a collar. It's like a uniform they got to get on, or they can't be a part of the community. And it's not true.
Kate, doesn't that go back to our whole sub-frenzy thing?
Yeah.
And dom frenzy.
There's different kinds of collars. There's a play collar, which is you're playing in a scene. And for that scene, the collar's on and it puts you in that scene space. It comes off at the end of the scene. Then there's the next level up where it's more like a dating collar. And then when you have the ceremony and you go through the ritual that you are collared, and that is when the community comes in and adds to the value of that collar. And that is a permanent situation. Yes, Kate?
I never had a collaring ceremony either.
Oh, boy, we opened a can
you
of worms here.
You guys are slackers.
We did open. I am
Do I
trembling
get presents
here.
At this collaring ceremony?
You have to register at Babeland.
Home Depot.
Dom Depot.
Floggers are us.
Yeah.
I just want the presents.
Well, I have performed several. Just throwing that out there.
Yes, you have. I've been to one that you performed.
So
just
I.
saying.
Yeah. Kate, but you also have to give gifts to all of the attendees.
And they have to be worth
Do
more.
Do you really?
I'll take yes. a bottle of wine.
Are y'all just taking advantage of my ignorance on the subject to say?
Yes, they are.
Do I have to suck every cock too?
Yes.
Okay.
That one is true.
I'm down with that.
If you need help with that, give me a call.
Okay. Good to know I can count on you, Bitsy.
I'm there for you, Kate.
You mean all the times I've done that and I didn't get a ceremony?
I know.
I'm just thinking, wait a minute, do you get a cake too?
Beast, where did we lose control here?
When you invited a bunch of sassy subs into the room.
Kate pegged it. There you go.
Uh-oh, are we in brat mode today?
We are going
I've
to
had sugar and caffeine.
We are going to slide into the next topic, which is community. What does community mean to each and every one of you? I'm just going to go over here to Bitsy. What's community mean to you?
To me, community is, well, I looked for it for a long time. Like I said, all of my children are legal adults, just to give you a age reference for me. And I've only been in this community for about 3 years because that's when I found it. And I looked for it for a long time and just wasn't meeting the right people to tell me where to find this community and was not using my resources like the internet appropriately once those came along. And so to me, the community is simply everyone I know in the lifestyle. But, you know, we also had a member of this community who lost his home in a fire 2 days before Thanksgiving. And we were able to do fundraisers and give him things and money and he and his wife and child and help them completely reestablish their household in about a month. That's powerful stuff. I don't care if it's a kink community, a church community, a religious community. That's powerful stuff right there. And to me, that's what it is. It's a group of friends who are taking care of each other. And the fact is that these are the people we can be who we are all the time with, and nobody's, you know, you might not be into what I'm into, but you're not going to judge me on it like somebody not in this community might.
I think there's several different interpretations of community. First of all, I consider the BDSM community, which is basically everybody on FetLife, no matter where you live. Then I would consider the local community. Now, that once again, that gets into something else, because what I consider the local community for our area is probably 60 miles within Nashville, the Middle Tennessee area. Now, I've made posts before where I've said stuff about helping somebody in our local community, and it may be somebody in an outlying area 40 miles away, and some people say, no, they're not in our community. Our community is Nashville. So what some people perceive as our community, Nashville, I perceive it as Middle Tennessee. So different people have different interpretations of community.
Absolutely. My interpretation of community is anybody who participates in what we do and comes out publicly and tries to be a part of the community, whether they're into what I'm into or not, whether they're my friend or not, they're a part of this community, in my opinion. I think it's very important because when I was new and I was coming out, I needed somebody to say, you don't have to collar somebody today, because I thought I did. I needed somebody to say, slow down. You can't beat everybody tonight. I needed that because I didn't know. And I hope that I have been that for other people over the years. And I feel that it's very important.
To me, community is it's a group of people who have a common social interest. And with that, there is a sense of belonging. And with belonging, there is an interest in making sure other people have their needs met, or that others who are seeking this community can find it.
Community is basically, you know, a group of like-minded people. And I think it's extremely important for a community to come together for someone whose house is burned down. And that's kind of what a community does, that they care for one another. They get together. They have fellowship, if you want to use that word. And it's extremely important, especially for me, you know, being new in the lifestyle. I need to be able to have people to go to ask questions or to be involved in conversations and learn things. Because, I mean, I could sit down and I could read a book all day long, but unless I have some real life experience and actually hear it from someone, I'm not going to understand. So it's, community is extremely important.
My take on community may be a little different, a little broader. I consider us all part of what might be called the Kink Nation, and we're all part of a local tribe, and we don't necessarily have to even like the other members of the tribe entirely, but we have to be supportive for the common good of the tribe. We have a community that is often assailed on all sides by various forces that want to disband us, make us disappear. As tribe members, we need to come together and support each other regardless of our knowledge or our particular agreement with somebody's kink or interest.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I also think it's important that we dispel the online myth as a real face-to-face community.
I agree with you so much. Absolutely. And to support each other. I don't know if there's more diversion presented online because it's easier to hide behind a computer. I think that if you're out meeting people and talking to people, it tends to take away a lot of the misconceptions a person might have about someone else and their kink or their role or their whatever. I think it's really important. I agree with you. And I agree with what Kavika said and what Vista said about the community being enormous. It's huge. And it was always in the shadows and it was always down. And you had to get into the community was a real job. And now it's just push a few keys and boom, you're in. So I think that as it is expanding, that everybody needs to be mindful that has any background or anything to offer, because everybody has something to offer, and extend a hand and help someone. What's the expression? Each one teach one, and you know, embody that and help people. And again, the newer folks, they need to have a more open mind and actually listen to what people are telling them. Go to three or four people and learn something, not just one person, because no one has all the answers.
And to just tag on to that, the internet has really opened up the opportunity to find your community. And especially within FetLife, you can find your local community within a particular city or state, which helps a lot with people's seeking what they're looking for.
I found the concept that Beast was putting forward of a tribe very interesting, because I was thinking kind of the same thing. It's, we have almost an overlay. Here we are in the Middle Tennessee area. We have Nashville, an area of about 3 million people. Some of us are, you know, this way. But it's almost like our community is an overlay of that. It's an invisible overlay of that in a town that's known as the Buckle of the Bible Belt. It's nice to be able to get together with people who are not interested in the stereotypical judgmental reactions and are more interested in validation, are more interested in this idea of helping others and teaching others and helping people to become who they are.
It's interesting about FetLife being able to help people find their local community, but it still amazes me. I get contacts off of my personal website, www.katekinsey.com, where people ask me, you know, how do I get started? And I tell them FetLife, and a lot of them haven't heard of FetLife yet, and I'm like, well, go. Because it's the greatest place I know of to find your local people.
Run, don't walk.
Okay. Community is a group of people who come together to celebrate their desires to live the BDSM lifestyle. We share commonalities in that we are into BDSM. There are so many different aspects to who we are. And the biggest thing is that we respect each other. We don't judge each other, and we support each other instead of saying, well, this group over here in East Nashville is more important than this group over here in West Nashville. There needs to be more support in the entire community instead of just one place.
I would like to expand on that, and I would like to go in a different way, and what is not community. And to me, going on what you just said, what is not community are the people that Chrissy said earlier that hide behind a computer, that will tell their opinions of everything, but yet they're not active locally. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody's seen them before, but yet they're very opinionated online. A second group that I feel is not community is what the media and maybe the local authorities consider part of BDSM, and that's the person who goes and ties their spouse or boyfriend up, leaves them for 3 days, and they come back, find them dead, and they say it's part of the BDSM community. When these people, nobody knows these people, they have not been educated, they're not at all part of the community at all, but they tag them as part of the BDSM community because of, I would figure, just ignorance.
Definitely see your point about that, because we had that case locally of a woman who left her husband tied up and he died, and nobody knew them. But the thing is, are they our community or not? If we talk about a worldwide tribe of people who have these desires and interests, just because they were too stupid to go out and find education, do we disown them?
Okay. Were they too stupid or unwilling? Okay. Because it's really difficult to perpetuate your myth of being a master owning 7 slaves for 15 years if you go out into the community and you don't have anybody with you.
Yeah.
And that actually happened at our local club not too long ago. Mm. He came out, he told everybody that he was coming out and he had 7 slaves, blah, 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 blah. And then once he got to the mark, he realized that he couldn't keep that up and he disappeared. I just think that people choose to be a part of the community.
Yeah, I'm not taking up for those people, but I'm saying it's a legitimate question we need to, of where do we draw the line? How accepting are we? Because also on the negative side of community, you get those people who insist that if you don't go to the local dungeon and play publicly, then you're not part of our community.
Yeah, I agree with that, Kate. Education really is the key to all things. It doesn't matter whether it's this community or something else. And it goes back to support and respect, you know, and not judging. Just, I don't particularly go to the local dungeon. I have personal reasons for that, but it doesn't mean I don't respect the space. And I think it's a great place that people have that they can go to and be part of a group. But you've got to consider there's groups everywhere around, and these groups should be supportive of one another, just like the Kinky Cast. Everybody in the local community should be supporting the work that this cast is doing, because it's bringing forth some valuable education for everybody.
I think that the community exists whether people participate in it or not. There is the community. It could be 5 people. It could be 500 people. Whether or not you choose to join the community is on you, but it's there. It's a resource, and a much better resource than FetLife as far as gaining information and knowledge. And I don't think that it matters whether or not you go to the local dungeon. If you don't go to the local dungeon, I don't think that means you're not part of the community. Mm-hmm. You're still part of it.
I don't think the local dungeon really has anything to do with whether you're a part of the community or not. You go to Munches, you're on Kinky
Cast.
Yeah,
but do you deny that some people have that perception that if you don't...
Well, everybody has their own.
But you're still involved.
But you're involved. You're involved in some sort of way, whether it be a Munch, some sort of involvement. But I want to go back to what Kate said about the couple that where one of them had tied the other one up and that was neglect. I don't take responsibility for people like that. They didn't reach out to us. They're not part of us. You know, that's something the local authorities have to deal with. That is not part of our community because they did not make an effort to reach out to us and become exactly part of our community.
I agree. They didn't make an effort. And Lee, I want to go back to, I don't think that just because you don't go to the Mark or whatever your local club is, that you're not part of the community, because you are part of the community. You're going to Munches. You're part of this Kinky Cast. You are part of the community in different ways than just going to the local club. Mm. And what I meant to say was not, if you don't come to your local club, you're not reaching out to the community. There are other ways to do it. It just...
Right.
That's what I was getting at.
You know, just because these people share our mindset about certain things does not make them a part of the community. Every single person here, when describing what community is, described a community service-oriented mind, a person who felt that the group was important, who felt like the education of the group was important, and these people don't sound like that's a priority or a value that they have. And as such, I would debate whether they're a member of our community, even if they do share our mindset on what they find exciting in their bedroom.
I agree with much of what y'all are saying today. And I came from another state. I don't want to give too much information. I don't want to inadvertently identify anybody that might not want to be identified. But I was playing with people at house parties, small groups at house parties. It was probably 8 to 10 people, and it was a pretty regular group. We did that for quite a while. And I didn't have the internet. I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a cell phone for many, many years. I didn't want a cell phone, but I didn't have access to a computer for probably till 2000 at my job, but not at my home. So there was a lot of information that I was not given access to. And I was okay with that. I was happy with what I was doing. When I decided to leave and move to the state, a friend of mine said, I took a 3-year break to figure out if I wanted to stay in the scene, what I wanted to do with my kink, I knew I wanted more. My friend said, you need to go on alt.com. You need to go on alt. And I said, ew, no. And she said, you need to go on alt.com. And I said, okay. So I did. And I met a whole bunch of great people locally. I met the man that I serve now. It just boom, 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 cascaded. But getting back to the community, because I didn't go to Munch's, there were none that I knew of. I didn't go to the club. There was none at that time in my area. There was none. They didn't exist. It was a very small group of people, a lot of crossover with swingers and kink. Once in a while, we'd meet somebody who was leather, but that was strictly an accident, I think. So was I part of the community? In my heart and soul, I wanted to be part of a community. So is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't know. You know, I know I wanted more. I know I needed to be part of a community. I know I needed to learn things from people that knew more than I did. FetLife is a great tool for that. And FetLife has offered much more to me than the local community here, because I have resources now all around the world. I talk to people in London. I talk to people in British Columbia, people of all different orientations, backgrounds, history. And I think it's offers much more than what's locally available.
Getting back to, I just wanted to explain something, I guess just to satisfy myself. I didn't mean to sound defensive earlier talking about the community, because I love the local play space. I think it is a wonderful place for people to go. You know, I mean, it's a great public place for people to go and play. I don't want anybody to misconceive, you know, what I was talking about. I just, for myself, I like, you know, smaller, intimate settings. So just wanted to make that very, very clear.
I hear a lot of commonality and divergent views, and that's good. Debate's good. I do see that, just like the tribe that I spoke of, the tribe is made up of families and associations, and we have that in every local community. People that associate in the same circles, that doesn't make those who don't associate in that circle any less members of those communities. Sadly, I must disagree with Kavika that even though these people that had this terrible incident in their lives didn't reach out to us, we're still going to be saddled with them being part of our community, whether we like it or not. And in part, they are part of our community. But the one thing that we're lacking, maybe to make these our communities more like the rest of the world, is we don't have the rites of passages and the any set standards to reach to become a member of this community. We don't get a voter card at 18. We don't get a driver's license. We don't have the Sweet 16 parties. You become a part of this community strictly by self-identification. And maybe that is something that makes the modern community different than the more traditional communities that the older ones of us at least grew up in. I've been in this community through several different play spaces, and when I ran the play space, I will concede there was this, you got the tunnel vision that the play space was a community. That wasn't the case then. It's not the case now. The community is much more diverse and complicated than any single institution.
I would like to say that, Chrissy, when you were telling us about your experience, you still had that attitude of willingness to be a part of a community, mm-hmm. that I was saying would make you part of the community, even though I would also agree with Beast that even if these aren't necessarily people who we identify ourselves as being part of our community, we do have to be aware of other people identifying these people as part of our community, and we have to be ready for that. It's not like, I keep trying to think of this as being like a small town, but in a small town, every human is implicitly or complicitly part of the community. And here, it's just like Beast said, it's only through self-identification that we can identify the people who are willing to be a part of our community. And that does not mean that others won't be attributed to our community, whether or not we want them to be. Or like that association. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, Betsy. It was difficult for me. I had to make a break with a lot of people and think about what I wanted to do to step out into the community. And I'm glad that I did.
I want to jump back into what defines our community. Since some people are saying that the people that do things that don't reach out to us are part of our community and some don't. Well, on that hand, you have swingers clubs that have dungeons. So are the swingers clubs part of our communities? I mean, how big is our community? Where does our community stop? That's my question.
I think, and I'm touching on several different points here, I think that being like-minded is very crucial to being a part of the community. You can't have a quote-unquote community of people that believe 15 different things. You know,
But we do!
I'm not talking
people who are just gay and lesbian. They have every other belief.
I'm talking about like having, for instance, let's go on the religious route. You have a community of pagans, and the majority of these communities do not have Jehovah's Witnesses in there. You know, it's like-minded, and I think that that's very crucial.
A more general, perhaps, mindset than a specific mindset.
A unifying concept?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
We share a liberality about mindset as opposed to a more strictured version.
And then I think, Chrissy, going back to you, I think that even though you were playing with a small group and it was at house parties or whatever, because you came out and you identified as being like this, yes, I do believe that you were part of the community. You weren't sitting at home and just, you know, thinking it all by yourself. You were out and involved. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, I'm going to use an analogy here as far as community and play space. Look at it like you have the Nashville community, and then you have a community center in East Nashville. Well, if you don't go to the community center in East Nashville, does that mean you're not part of the Nashville community? No. It's a building for the community to come together and go to. And, you know, just because you don't like going does not mean that you're not part of the community.
Oh, Mr. Cotta. I feel like I'm back in school.
Okay, Epstein.
Okay.
Only people of a certain age are even going to get that. You know that.
Oh, well, that tells my age, people. I'm an old person.
I work with a lot of young people, and I always have to stop myself. I'm like, they have no idea what I just said.
No.
Okay, Gilligan.
I think of it like this. It brings me back to my school days when I was in high school. There was the cheerleaders over here and the football players over here and the freaks over here and the hippies over here and the geeks over here. I'm the type of personality that I was friends with every single group. I didn't just stick to one group. I didn't discriminate because you were a football player, or because you were a cheerleader, or because you were a freak. Yes. And so that's the way I see my life now.
I'm friends with a lot of different people in the area. You know, I talk to a lot of different people, and we all have disagreements. You know, that's part of life. And, you know, I don't dislike anybody. Oh, I forgot the nerds. I like nerds, too.
What about the band geeks?
I like the band geeks, too. So, you know, I just think it's a great, we do have a really good community here in Middle Tennessee area. And I think the only thing I see lacking is support. Now, support goes both ways, you know, from one group to another group to another group. So, you know, we just have to kind of step outside of our comfort zone and start supporting, you know, different groups.
We keep on, again, coming back to using traditional models to identify the community in the group, yet we don't have either a geographical moniker that we can hang on to. We don't have a school enrollment that we can hang on to. We're much more loose and relaxed than that as a community. So as Kavika mentioned, we are still grappling, and I suspect we always will be grappling, with the question of where does our community stop and start at? There's always going to be a core group that we can positively say that is a BDSM community. And this is a strongly interrelated, interactive group of people that share exactly or nearly exactly values, but we get into furries, primals, we get into this broader and broader people that mix sex with BDSM and don't mix sex with BDSM, people that are leather, and we won't even go down the path of straight, het, lesbian, trans. This is a broad community, and there are no police. There's no governing agency that sets standards for admission.
Thank God.
So thank God. We have to be, in my mind, very open to a broad interpretation.
And on that note, we bring part one to a close. Join us for the B portion of this episode, available now.
You have been listening to episode 20A of the Kinky Cast. Today we heard the first half on our group discussion. We want to hear from you with your comments or questions. So email us, questions@kinkycast.com, or call and leave a voicemail at 916-KINKY69. If you leave a contact number, we will try to reach you to join us on the show. Some listeners want to remain completely anonymous, so we have the Bashful tab on our webpage. Just type your message and hit send. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, Chrissy, Koika, Kate, Gabrielle, Anne, Lee, Mistress and Bitsy Blue, I'm Max. Part 2 is ready now for your listening pleasure.